This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Rochester's home for live sports and the best sports talk anywhere. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
We only want to give you the best fantasy advice as you're setting your lineup for this weekend's action. That's why we talk to the best minds out there. Guys like Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy. Andy, my co-host, is an evil, evil man. He knows my heart is in Chicago. I'm a fan of the Bears, unfortunately, for better or worse. It's a curse that I've carried my entire life. Doesn't this guy in our 2QB league go ahead and pick up Minch Trubisky to be his QB2 against the Giants?
Well, hold on. Is that a jerk move or not? Because Trubisky over Locke, I like the matchup against the Giants, and I'm playing my friend here, Mike Danger, and I want to win, but I also may ruin his Sunday in the process, knowing if he gets to enjoy that. Is that a jerk move or not, Andy?
Could it not be argued that he's just being a good friend, protecting you from yourself?
Maybe.
Because he knows you're going to jump on that good line from Mitch Trubisky. I got to say, obviously I'm a Bear fan myself, lifelong Chicagoan. He was horrible.
Terrible.
it was one of those situations where, like, this is just where fantasy and reality breaks down. Like, he was aggressively bad for much of that game. He had a three-play sequence, I think it was in the third quarter, where he took a hilarious delay of game penalty, where he just had no idea. And he would have gone on ho-humming at the line for 10 seconds if they'd let him. And then on the next play, it was a brutal incompletion. And then the next play was a strip sack that resulted in a 27-yard loss. And it was just like, he was missing open guys all day and just like a brutally comic game. He made one great throw to Anthony Miller, and oftentimes when Trubisky's first read is there, he can make a play. But I mean, as far as improvisation goes, as far as working through progressions go, I mean, he hasn't really found his footing yet, and he's probably not going to find his footing. But it was a great game for him statistically, and he's got a great matchup against the Giants on a short week, so it would not be at all surprising if he went off again.
Yeah, he had a good matchup against a terrible. I mean, the Lions were calling me in the third quarter asking if I could play corner for them at that point because there's nobody left. You're going to be putting Drew Locke back in your lineup, I think, before Sunday. The way that Andy's describing it, you didn't watch the game. Andy and I watched it. He was bad. He made a good throw. He was bad that game. The Bears were bad that game.
He was funny bad. He wasn't merely bad. He wasn't like depressing bad. He was like, I'm rooting for the Bears at the time, and even I, like, you know, you're chuckling along.
Andy, we've got action tonight. We've got the Bengals. We've got the Browns. You know, I'm sure that there's some fantasy implications to this game. You've got some Joe Mixon fans. I'm sure you've got some Chubb and some Kareem Hunt. But let's talk about the quarterbacks for a second, because from 1 week of play and looking at the data point of week one, Joe Burrow made some mistakes but didn't look like the game was bigger than him, whereas Baker Mayfield just looks lost. Break down the quarterback play in tonight's game.
Yeah, I would say that the most disappointing thing, and listen, the Browns had a brutal matchup in opening week, especially for a team that obviously new system, new coaches, new voices and all that. So it was always going to be rough for them in opening week against Baltimore. Baltimore was a great pass defense last year. They got better defensively in the offseason, so we knew that was going to be rough. The disturbing thing is that everything that was bad about Baker Mayfield last year, you know, the scattershot passing and the sort of, you know, shell shock demeanor in the pocket, anticipating pressure even when pressure wasn't there, like all that stuff was still there. Baker Mayfield can't be a drive killer for that team. He doesn't have to be an all-pro quarterback, but he certainly can't be like just a one-man drive killer, right? And he looked like that guy again. So that was distressing. Like, we say that there are only a few fantasy implications here, but think of all the first and second round fantasy picks in this game, right? Like, Chubb went early, Mixon went early, Odell Beckham went early, Jarvis Landry went fairly early. But there are serious fantasy implications, because you don't want to send your first or second round pick to the bench in week two of the fantasy season, right? So there are certainly implications here. Burrow had maybe the ugliest interception of week one that I have seen so far. Obviously, that short little pass right into Ingram's arms was terrible. You can't throw that ball. It was a play that he just never would have made last season at LSU. He also, talk about a day that could have happened. AJ Green had so many opportunities, and he roasted somebody for an easy walk-in touchdown, and Burrow overthrew him. Had a couple of other targets in the end zone, one of which probably should have gone for a touchdown, but he got an offensive pass interference penalty. So it wasn't perfectly clean from Burrow, but obviously you'd love to see final drive. He did everything that was asked for him, everything that was necessary, and certainly the moment wasn't too big for him. Really excited about him. We also saw like the rushing element to his game too, which is going to be such a key fantasy-wise.
Andy Behrens from Yahoo Fantasy, our guest here in the Sports Bar. One other question about tonight, because you get the speculation about Odell Beckham, and before you came on, my take is that, well, to me, it's all unfounded. Or is it unfounded, Andy? If you're kind of poking around, could you perhaps, if Odell Beckham has a bad game tonight, maybe try to float a trade offer out there that, you know, get him on the cheap, and maybe he does end up somewhere else? What's your view on Odell right now?
Well, I guess my view generally on the Browns offense is that we are going to learn a lot tonight. Because again, you can forgive week one, given the degree of difficulty of the matchup. But if they face plant again in week two, if they face Cincinnati and they put up like 13 points or 17 points or something like that, now we have a big problem. Now we're looking at an offense that there's just no way it's going to support two starting quality fantasy running backs in Hunt and Chubb, right? That's not going to happen. If you're averaging 17 points a game, you can't support two running backs. We're going to have a problem with, like, best case scenario for Odell all of a sudden starts to look a lot like last year, right? Which was 1,000 yards, but I think only 4 touchdowns, didn't help anybody win in any given week. We're going to have a big problem. Like, I was pretty optimistic on Odell coming into this season because he was clearly injured last year, and to his credit, he played through a hernia that required off-season surgery. Like, you know, the NFL availability is everything, and he gets a lot of credit for that, but he didn't put up the numbers. If he doesn't do anything tonight, and he had plenty of targets, he had plenty of opportunities in week one. We saw pouting Odell. We saw, you know, all the faces of Odell that you know so well over the years. Like, we saw him in week one. He's got to have a game tonight. If he doesn't have a game tonight, I'm legitimately concerned. And I guess I wouldn't be going out of my way to make a buy low offer.
Andy Barrett, Yahoo Fantasy Sports, our guest in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Waiver wire period likely over in many leagues, but there were, I would say, four crown jewels at the running back position that probably could have been had this week, heading into this weekend. I'm curious to get your thoughts on Malcolm Brown, Snell in Pittsburgh, Robinson in Jacksonville, and in Indianapolis. Why am I blanking on...
Not Naeem Hines.
Naeem Hines, yeah. Of course. Yes, these four players, given all of the circumstances around them from week one, we learned a little bit more about each of them. What are your thoughts on those four running backs heading into this weekend?
Yeah, this is a really good question, a pretty essential question, because people, you know, now they've added them, they're wondering, okay, do I immediately play them? I think Naeem Hines is probably the guy that the performance that you just saw from him, and let's toss out the touchdowns, right? Nobody's going to have two touchdowns in any given week. Let's toss out the touchdowns. What you just saw from him is going to be his role this season. He caught all 8 of his targets. This is a guy who could very well finish the season, especially now with Marlon Mack out of the mix. He could finish the year with 80 receptions. He might finish the year with 90 receptions. Like, Phillip Rivers throws the hell out of the ball to his running backs. Almost 40% of his throws in week one went to running backs, and they were fantastic in the receiving game. he's going to get all the, like, Austin Eckler had 90 catches last year, not even being the number one running back for the Chargers, right? So that can definitely be Nyheim Hines this season. In the second half of that game, after Mac exited, he split the snaps basically evenly with Jonathan Taylor. So really good situation for him in PPR leagues. I won't go so far as to say that he can be a league winner, though. That's where I would put, now listen, it's low probability, but that's your upside for Malcolm Brown and Benny Snell. Malcolm Brown, you know, I had a lot of people on Twitter reaching out to me saying, you know, he scored 2 touchdowns in week one last year, and then nothing happened. Like, I'm not going to react to this. Except last year, he just happened to get a couple of goal line carries and didn't actually play that many snaps and didn't see much work. This year was totally different. This year, he played over 40 snaps. He got over 20 touches. He clearly outplayed Cam Akers. Now, Cam Akers is a good player. He's going to have weeks too. But he clearly outplayed the other guy. And he closed the game for him in a win, right? Like, he's the number one now. He's the number one for a good offense. He just saw 20 touches. So a guy like that, if he's got possession of the job and he can just hold on to it, he's a league winner in fantasy. And I guess I would say the same about Benny Snell. He's got some holes in his game, but he looked great in a killer matchup, in a wonderful matchup against the Giants defense. He looked the part. James Conner is hurt, so it's a worst case scenario for James Conner drafters, right? Like, now you're sitting on an injured player who might just get Wally pipped. And then Pittsburgh is obviously as good an offense as the Rams, if not better. So the upside to both of those guys is featured back for a great offense. So in my mind, those two were kind of one and two in terms of waiver priorities. James Robinson is pretty much settled in, I would say now, as the lead back in an offense that is not going to be spectacular all season, right? Like, they were fun in week one, and Gardner Minshew was great, but we don't expect Jacksonville to ultimately be a team that averages, you know, 24, 30 points a game. It's not going to be like that all year. So Robinson is kind of a step down from the other two for me.
Yeah, one other situation, because I'm glad you brought up Eckler. Josh Kelly, is that, could the pendulum kind of go away with now Tyrod over there? What are your thoughts on Josh Kelly? Because maybe he is available in some leagues at this point.
Yeah, Josh Kelly got the goal line work and converted. And that's basically what you need to know, right? Like, that's a huge role. He doesn't have an every down role, and he has no path to an every down role as long as Eckler is active. That's absolutely certain. But he got the goal line carry. He's attached to a good offense, and he converted them. So that's a win. The other concern there, the flip side, is Austin Eckler. Austin Eckler saw one target. He had plenty of touches, right? It was a good day for him. 20 touches in the game, 80 plus yards. He was fine, but he saw one target. In fact, Tyrod only targeted his running backs one time in the entire game. That can't happen. Like, we're going to really learn something about that offense this week, because they play the Chiefs. And they're going to be chasing points, obviously, against the Chiefs, because everybody is. In his two games against Kansas City last year, Eckler had 17 receptions. Like, in both games, he saw double-digit targets. If we don't get a number like that, like, if he's not catching 6, 7, 8 balls, then we have a real problem this year, and we have to be concerned that Tyrod is just not going to throw, period, to his running backs the way Phillip Rivers did.
Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy Sports, joining us here in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Andy, we started our conversation talking about two young quarterbacks playing tonight, Thursday Night Football. Can we go back to last Sunday and talk about two older quarterbacks and talk about that Saints and Tampa Bay game? And I'm a little bit concerned about what we saw out of not just Tom Brady, but also Drew Brees, and then with Michael Thomas having the injury as well. Project the out and give us an outlook on both of these two quarterbacks here for the upcoming couple of weeks here.
Well, things get better for Brady in a big way. Like, the Saints defense is pretty legit. I thought, this is going to be weird to say, but I thought Brady looked fine, except for the game-changing interceptions.
Right? Yeah,
like,
sure.
That's an easy thing to say. I say that about Trubisky occasionally, too. So, but his weapons get healthier, right? Mike Evans is practicing this week. Mike Evans is going to be like a full go, and they're already talking about how they needed to run more stuff for him last week. So, it's great. Obviously, surrounded by great.
Nope.
Did we lose Andy?
I think we lost Andy.
Oh, and Andy, we got you. You're cutting out on us a little bit there. I don't know if we got you mobile or not, but you were saying that.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That's fine.
I was really saying, just a killer matchup coming up in Carolina. were bad defense last year. They got worse this year. He's got any receiving core. Everything's fine. Really worry about Breeze without Michael. In Michael Thomas's career, we've only seen him absent from the field one time. Breeze was terrible. Like, it's one game, but no touchdown passes, three interceptions, low yardage total, and there's nobody who can just step in and be Michael Thomas, right? That's not a role. He's like a transcendent player. It's not like, you know, guy who catches 140 balls is not a role. That's something that only Michael Thomas can do, and they're going to be without it. So it's a huge worry for Breeze.
Andy, as we kind of wrap up here, one question. It's fantasy, but it's also kind of more real football up here in Buffalo. You have the Bills and Dolphins this week, and we all saw what happened to the Miami run defense, dead last against the Patriots. I mean, are we to assume that the Buffalo coaching staff will see that, and is this a good week here to plug in Devin Singletary and or Zach Moss?
Yeah, there are going to be plenty of weeks where you can play them both, and this is certainly one of them. I've got them both ranked as RB2s right now, probably going to stay that way. Moss didn't obviously have an efficient game, but from a fantasy perspective, you really like when he was on the field, right? Like, they got near the goal line, and Zach Moss was on the field, and that was good to see. And then on the Singletary side, you like that they threw to him so often. So pretty promising debut for both guys, and just an easy matchup in this one. Obviously, Josh Allen, for all of his faults, is a very strong start. I've got him as my QB3, and I've got both these running backs as must plays.
Andy, a question from a listener. Carlos wants to know, he needs to bench one of these three players. You got Lazard in Green Bay, Dobbins in Baltimore, or Gibson in Washington. Three players, two spots. Who would you bench out of those three?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to play Gibson in a friendly matchup against Arizona. I like that a lot. And then you pretty much got to play Dobbins. Dobbins is going to score two touchdowns each week. Mark Ingram actually had more carries last week. I wouldn't be too panicky as an Ingram owner just yet. It's also, you know, it was a game that got out of hand so early. But I do like Dobbins' chances to score against Houston because they have a very poor run defense.
Andy, it's always great to have you on with us. You've got the floor now to tell our listeners and our audience where they can get more of your work.
That's great talking to you guys. Yeah, I would encourage everybody to listen to our daily podcast now. It's the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast. I'm on a couple times a week. Going to be taping a show real soon with Liz Loza. So please check that out. Subscribe to it. And then you can catch us on Fantasy Football Live 90 minutes before kickoff on Sunday.
Awesome stuff as always, Andy. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy Sports, dispensing the fantasy football advice, just handing it out. Now go win your league. No excuses. I didn't want to tell him what I did with James Conner. When he started talking about James Conner, James Conner owners now have a headache on their heads. I don't want that headache. Get off my bench. Dropping you.
You couldn't stash him away?
Don't want to.
I see, to me, I would have stashed him. He's getting healthy and then traded.
So here's my situation. I've got a couple of really good handcuffs, and we talk about guys that could potentially be league winners. If something happens to Zeke Elliott, Tony Pollard's a league winner. If something happens to Dalvin Cook, Alexander Mattison is a league winner.
Chase Edmonds in Arizona. Those guys
could
be
a league winner. Right. So these are the kind of players that I would rather stash on my bench than wish and hope that James Conner can get right when he didn't look right in one half of football week one. He looked bad, and Snell looked like the better running back.
Well, that's a bold move. And I'm sure that that he'll get picked up right away and stashed.
I think he did get picked up right away. And that's fine. He's somebody else's headache now. Go ahead. Have him. He's yours. I'll drink to that is on the way next. We've got some takes on tap.
Yeah. Shame on you, City School District. Can we please have direct communication? Your educators, I'm going to put them on blast. And then a team that if they go to 0-2 this week, people will be like, oh my gosh, their season's over, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to tell you why. Always kind of looking ahead to the schedule here, Danger. So we'll tell you which team, win or lose this week, I still think is in great shape to make the postseason.
I've got takes on tonight's game as well. We'll play. I'll drink to that on the way next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
ESPN Rochester is excited to introduce Radio.com Rewind. Radio.com Rewind. It's your way to check out and listen to the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. If you missed it over the past 24 hours.
On-demand audio of Rochester's only local sports talk show and afternoon drive. Download the Radio.com app and select and favorite ESPN Rochester. Maybe you missed a big interview, something funny, or just want to hear the entire show. Easy to navigate. Pause and rewind any length of segment you choose or take a listen to the entire show. It's the all-new Radio.com Rewind from ESPN Rochester. Download the Radio.com app now and rewind up to 24 hours so you can catch anything you might have missed on the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Listen the way you want, when you want. Only from AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.